We'll give Pearl a moment to come in. Stacy, David. Good morning, everyone. The song that we will sing, we're going to sing two songs back to back. We're going to start with the song number 528, Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow, is the song title found in our hymnals, in our books. Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. This song's two lines long, one verse. And then from that song, we'll immediately go and we'll sing song number 157, For the Beauty of the Earth. So if you're following along in our hymnals, go ahead and put your finger there on 157. I will not announce that song title again between those songs. I'll go immediately from one song to the other song, as if they're one song. Starting off, the song that you see on the screen is Doxology. It's also Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. Would you bow with me? Lord God Almighty, our Creator and our Father, we are so humbled to be in your presence, Father, to be able to praise the God of all creation, Father, the God of love and compassion, the true and living God, Jehovah God. And we thank you, Father, for your everlasting mercies. We thank you, Father, for your patience and your endurance with us. We thank you, Father, most of all, for the giving of your Son, Jesus. We who are the church are the bride of Christ. Father, we have that relationship eternally because Jesus paid the price that we owed, Father. And when we've obeyed your gospel, we've We've been seen as your children, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful, Father, for the forgiveness of sins that comes with that gift. We're thankful, Father, that when you look at us upon judgment, Father, those who are your children in faith, that you won't see all the sins that we've committed, the many vile and despicable things that we've done in our lives. You'll see only Christ Jesus and his cleansing blood. Father, help us to devote ourselves to faithful living, to being all the people that you desire for us to be and that we want to be. Father, we love you, and we know that you love us. You've proven your love. Help us to prove our love to you every day of our lives, every moment of every day. Father, we're thankful that we can come together on the Lord's Day, on this first day of the week, and we can glorify you in a public way. We can lift up your name and that of your Son in our singing, in our prayers. We can study your word, and we can commune with you in the Lord's Supper. We can give back as we've prospered, and we can set our minds, Father, for the week ahead of us. On this first day of the week, it's the most important thing for us to be prepared to enter into this sinful world, to not be swayed, to not be given in to the human frailties that are all around us, the things that we see others doing. Help us to depend on you and to receive strength from you and courage. Father, we're mindful of those of our number that are not with us, and we want to lift their names up to you in prayer. Father, we're mindful, first of all, for those who've been shut in for a long time, and we want to say some of their names. Father, we're mindful of Jack and Millie Keene, of Rose Beattie, of Evelyn Belt and Catherine Wright and Judy Mayberry. Father, we're mindful of our sister Kay Collins, and know that she hasn't been with us in a couple weeks, and we miss her, and we just ask, Father, that your hand would be with her. Father, for maybe others, even some among us this morning, might be struggling in different ways. Despite their struggles, they're enduring and wanting to be here with your people. They're an inspiration and encouragement to us. For our visitors, the same, Father. We're very blessed by their presence, and we want to encourage them back. Father, we just want to be what you want us to be. Help us to be guided by your word. We ask, Father, that you would go with our Bible class teachers this morning, with James here in this assembly, and our Bible class teachers downstairs who are leading our youth. Father, just guide them in the delivery of your message of truth and love. Be with us all as hearers. Help us to realize that your word is truth and there is none elsewhere. Help us to take it into our lives and live it faithfully every day. Bless us and forgive us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may pass to your classes.
Thank everyone for being here, and I want to acknowledge that we have visitors this morning that are with us, and you are our special guest, and we are glad you're here. And this is an open forum class, just like Doug mentioned on Wednesday, to where we can ask questions back and forth and make comments to better learn the scriptures, to better learn maybe something you're having trouble with, that it's not been explained well enough or something like that. We are in Acts chapter 20 still. We have a few more verses to go. Acts chapter 20. And last week we talked a lot about Paul. And if you remember, I mentioned at the very first of the class, do you want to be like Paul? And then I asked the question again at the end of the class. And I mentioned some briefly Wednesday evening, but the point I want to make is that Paul was a sinner. He persecuted the Jews, he persecuted the Christians, and he persecuted anyone that was against the Romans and the Jews and things like that, that he was the person that they would send out to make sure things were going according to their will. Now, you're going to say, well, that's a bad person. Yeah, he killed Christians. And then when he was Saul, and when he became Paul is where he became a Christian and he changed his ways. So that's a 180 degree turn, isn't it? Completely from where he was at. And so the reason I want to make mention of this morning, again, is because the simple fact is that Paul, when he was Saul, was killing a sinful person. Once he became a Christian, he changed his ways, and when he changed, he went 180 degrees the other direction. He taught Christianity to everybody and preached it, and we'll go a little bit about that today, but talking and preaching and teaching, he never ceased. As we have been talking about the first and second journey here, he was, during his time of teaching, he was persecuted, he was run out. We mentioned that last week. He was also beaten and thrown in jail. That would discourage a lot of us, wouldn't it, to go to that extent. You know, he was asked not to proclaim Christ, and he was punished for that. And the reason I'm making such a thing about Paul is that when we get into the later chapters here, we'll understand more about what I'm talking about today. But here's something that's interesting to me. Paul never wavered. Paul never wavered. He kept the faith. He kept going the direction that Christ wanted him to do, and he just kept the faith. That is a prime example for us, to keep the faith. Did he not volunteer everywhere he went to help? Yeah, he helped with the weak. He helped with the people that needed food. He helped with people that needed clothing. He made sure that the Christians in all these areas were doing what they're supposed to do. Now, when I say that, I want everybody to think for a minute, are you doing all you can do for Christ? Okay? Are you doing all you can do to become the best Christian that you can? I mentioned this before, but if we're not growing, we are lukewarm and God will spit us out. We've got to be growing continually so that we're on fire, we're hot, we're going the direction always that Christ and God want us to go. And you might say, well, I've done all I can. Have you? I can always think of something I need to do. I would hope that you guys would have the same mindset, that there would be things that you need to do. So as we go through the later part of the chapter 20 here, I want us to think about this, as I've just mentioned here, because it's important for us to understand where we are in our Christianity. Okay? I left off on 34, but I'm going to back up to, I'll back up to 33 and read to the end of the chapter. Chapter 20, verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have sworn you, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the laboring, I'm sorry here, support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. This is the last part of his second voyage here. And, you know, I want us to think about what I said. And in verses here, we talked about the silver and gold last week and no apparel. He didn't covet anybody. If you'll read there in verse 34, with his own hands he had provided his own necessities. Okay? In verse 34 it says he provided his own necessities. How did he do that? Anybody remember?
He was a tent maker.
So when he traveled to teach and preach, he had a trade that he could bring to that community and provide a service for him to be accomplished with income. And so with his income, he didn't have to beg and borrow from the people there that he went. He was showing them, be self-sustaining. That's what I get out part of that here. Be self-sustaining. So he's trying to teach the church, be self-sustaining. It also reads here, and a little bit later, about supporting the weak. Who's the weak? Anyone in your congregation that needs help. Is that all? No. We're also to help people other than in the congregation that needs help. Now, with saying that, is where I'm going with that, is what I'm getting at, is that we can't help everybody. But when we get associated with somebody and they need some help, we need to try to help. Do you have something, Doug?
Just Galatians 6:10, do good to all men, especially those of the household.
Well, that's what I was referring to, because we start with the household, right, which is the congregation. Now, if we have somebody new that we want to talk to get them to come in and listen to the Word of God, we're going to try to help them if they're needing help, as our expenses will allow. So, you know, we have to be that kind-hearted person like Paul here, because he didn't ask for anybody to help him. He did not ask for any funds. In fact, a few chapters ago, he took funds, I believe, somewhere, or him and Timothy, or Timothy and somebody else. They took funds from one congregation to another congregation. I just think those are prime examples right here that we can glean out of this to show where we are, show who we are. In verse 34 at the very end, and for those who were with me. So he didn't exclude the individuals that was with him. I don't know, maybe you do, Doug, but I don't know if Timothy was a tent maker or not. But I guarantee he could help him move the canvas around and help him get it sewed up and help him with the measurements. So therefore, he was part of it. And I believe this shows us all here that each one of us in here need to be part of the whole. What is the whole? Whole is spreading the gospel. Whole is doing the gospels and spreading the gospel and helping one another and sharing that information. In verse 35, he says he showed us in every way about laboring to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, let's talk about that giving and receiving. What are we to give? Are we talking about monetary money?
I think whatever we have,
good example because, you know, he didn't have to, in our minds, come to earth and give of himself. But he knew he had to for the purpose of saving us. So that purpose is what? That's part of our purpose, is to help bring people to Christ to save them. Now, you know, he gave of himself. There is no more that you can do than give of yourself. I started to mention about monetary money. I mean, that's nothing to compare about giving of yourself and the labor that you put in. Because remember, he talked about the labor here. The labor that he put in was to sustain himself. The labor that we need to put in is to giving of ourselves. If we read here in verse 35, giving of ourselves. And that is one of the most important things we can do. I feel that there's congregations that are better at it. I have been to some that are not as good at it. And like I said, I'd mentioned about some of them are better. What do we need to do to get to that point? Anybody got any?
Practice.
Well, practice, yes, but what do we, I'm talking about ourselves. I'm going to pick on you, Doug.
Pick on Doug.
Yeah, this is Doug Day. If you're giving of yourself right now and you think it's enough, have you?
No. You can always give more. Like
you can always give more. Here's what I'm getting at. I want each and every one of us to think about what we have given. I'm not talking about monetary money either. What we have given to the Lord. And see how far you have fallen short of giving enough. Fallen short. James Miller has told us quite often, you can't outgive God. But it's not about outgiving the next person either. It's about growth. Growth in the congregation, growth in yourself, growth in trying to help somebody else to grow. I don't know, maybe you can all do it by yourself. Grow. But I'm going to tell you, I need help. I need help. And there's a lot of individual in our congregation that helps me, and they don't even know it. Because they give of themselves. I've mentioned this many times. Bob Colburn, that's no longer with us, was a prime example of that. Prime example. He gave and he gave and he gave. You know, I mentioned it at a time that we was working together for the church. You don't know how much that man really gave. I'm telling you, you don't know how much he gave to be who he was. I am proud I got to work with him because he is such an individual. I don't know how I could ever reach his level. He cared for everybody in this congregation. He cared for individuals that he just met. You know the old saying, be like Mike. Remember that old saying? I want to be like Bob. I don't know if I ever can, but I want everybody to think about that, that knew him as well as I did. So is it necessary then? Maybe I'll ask that question. Is it necessary to give of yourself? Absolutely. When you start giving of yourself, you're going to find out what you don't know. You're going to find out where you are. And you're going to find out what you need to do to do better. Until you give of yourself, you haven't given anything. So should we be thankful? We should be thankful every day that Christ came and gave Paul the opportunity to lead us and teach us. He's just one of many. It doesn't record in the scriptures of every single person that gave of themselves. Now, we talked about all that. Now, in verse 36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. What kind of leader is that? He knelt to pray. Start off. He knelt. He was given reverence to God because he was kneeling to pray to God. He was in such a vulnerable place when you kneel that that is showing the total respect that he had for God. Now, did he keep it to himself here? It says he prayed with them all. You know, Joe Beatty used to do this, and I started doing it because I think it's just fantastic. I said, let us all pray together when I try to lead a prayer. Let us all pray together because we are all one. In order to do that, we have to become one. And these followers at this particular time with Paul, he was still teaching. He was teaching those individuals by kneeling and praying with them. This was a group effort at this point. Anybody have any reasons why that might be important?
You need to pray with them?
As a group effort.
Well, yeah, we all need to pray. I think that when someone's leading, like you said, when someone's leading a prayer publicly, that everybody should be following along and praying in their hearts and their minds them as well.
Remember last week or the week before I mentioned about the wolves coming in sheep's clothing? Mm-hmm. That could be the teachers, preachers, elders, deacons, individuals in the church. So if we are one, we are going to help keep those at bay. If we keep those at bay and we are one, we're going to keep out the wolves that want to come in and cause destruction in God's church. We have a lot to think about, don't we? I never looked at Paul the same way as a child as I do now. A spiritual leader. I knew he was when I was a kid or teenager. But after reading so much and indulging in Paul and putting yourself in Paul's position sometimes, because in order to show everybody here, you've got to think about what Paul's thinking about for a minute and try to express that to get the point across. And his point was very deep. It was always concerning God. Anybody have any questions or comments? Let's turn to Luke for a few minutes here. Luke chapter 22. I'll start in verse 40. When he came to this place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but yours be done." I believe this was Christ's prayer in the garden, but my point is here is that he said he knelt down and prayed and said, keep me from temptation. You know what? I'm not sure that should be in every one of our prayers. Aren't we tempted on a daily basis? Hourly basis, maybe? We're tempted all the time.
When the Lord gives his model prayer, he includes that in that prayer, right? I mean, we thank God for all the blessings of life. We do that regularly, and he included that in that prayer. So certainly in our private prayers, that needs to be there, and it wouldn't hurt probably to do that in our public prayers as well.
All I'm getting at is that I think we need to think of it more often than what we do.
Yeah.
Temptation's out there all the time. Jamie?
You ever wonder when we got away from kneeling?
Probably because somebody said, what are we doing it? Or somebody old like you, Jamie, that says, I can't do that. I'm just kidding, Jamie.
I know. The reason I say that is because my granddad, the day he died, carried a cloth with him. And he called it his prayer cloth. Because at the church, Oak Valley Church of Christ, where I grew up, they had wood floors. Of course, they would oil those floors. And all the old men would carry cloths, and they called them prayer cloths, to put down on that wood floor so that the oil didn't stain their Sunday pants. So I know, like, my granddad and them were still kneeling. I just wonder when the church really started getting away from that. It's kind of a... Men were talking about kneeling, and they kneeled. You know, that was a thing.
Well, Stacy, where I grew up, there was no carpet. That we didn't even have air conditioning. And you think about it today, would you be here today and comfortable without the air conditioning? And how many would show up and not show up? We had a big fan in the back. When you talk about the preacher speaking, he had to speak up. I don't even know if we didn't even have mics. My point with that, Jamie, is that things do change. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, and some of them are just tradition. I don't know if that's a tradition or not, but I know it's a good idea, in my opinion. Sometimes we stand here, and I think we always should stand for the most part. Sometimes we don't when we have prayer. I just think our culture has changed enough that we don't think it's important enough. Is it? I'm not going to argue with you, Jamie, about the kneeling part since I brought it up. My point is that to me that's a good idea. But, you know, when we do that, we're showing to one another and to God that we hold him in high respect. Now, since we don't do it, do we still not show him in high respect? We do. It's just that that was probably the tradition. And then you said something about the oil floors. It wasn't long before that, Jamie, they had dirt floors. And I remember my dad going to one room schoolhouse all the time, and we don't have that anymore, but he said he got a lot out of the third grade. He was in third grade because he was listening to the fifth and sixth graders talk. So my point some things are our tradition and some things we still could do. I'm not saying we couldn't. Doug, did you have a comment that you wanted to make? I thought you raised your hand a minute ago. Forgot by now after I rattled, okay. But anyway, in 41, he knelt down. Now, we've talked about, since we've been in Acts, we've talked about Christ is God in human form. And he's kneeling to give reverence to God on high. Now, think about that for a second. He's given us an example.
But Jesus prayed to God all the time. He'd go off and pray by himself and pray, maybe through the night.
Right. With that, don't we need to do that? That's where I was going. Don't we need to have more of a prayer life than we do? I can't answer what yours is.
What did they used to call Wednesday night? Midweek prayer session.
Well, I don't remember it being prayer meeting.
We
didn't have a Wednesday night service. That was way out in the country.
But I mean, that's what
I don't remember. That's what it used to be called.
Yeah.
Well, I do know they used to have prayer meetings, which was some people call them revivals. And
gospel
meetings. Yeah, and then gospel meetings, and as you can see from back in Paul's time versus now, there's words that are similar in the meaning, and it's a little bit different now than it is then because they've changed the wording. But
I've been in denomination buildings where they had prayer pews, I mean prayer things that you had knelt down on. And I, of course, I was young then, but like I visit my sister church, Lutheran, I think, that they had that, and then it would fold down. You'd fold down, and so you could, have. But they didn't use them all the time, just for special times, like, when they did communion every 3 months or whatever it was, something like things like that.
With all this discussion, what I want everybody to get out of this is prayer life is very important. So, because we have that avenue to talk to God, and that prayer life, we have that opportunity, and we don't take advantage of it. We don't take advantage of it enough for us to sometimes think it's important. We all know it is. Okay. Anybody else have any comments or 37. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Why would they do that?
Well, they're probably never going to see him again. He was leaving.
He was leaving. And it does tell us that a little bit later, but my point, too, also, you're right, but my point is, does it not show the affection that these individuals have for Paul and what Paul has taught them? They wanted to show him as much as they could of how much they respected him by doing so, because they're going to miss him. If he's not there, he's not going to be the leader that he wants, that they need at that time. In the commentary, it says, this is a striking example of the intense affection in which the apostles' converts felt for him. Regarding the question of whether or not Paul ever came back to Ephesus, it doesn't tell us. But the affection, I think this is an affectionate congregation. I think we were a little bit more affectionate before COVID. So we got a little bit out of the habit, we used to hug everybody more often than we did. So do now, but affectionate. You care. Once you care and care enough, you're going to do something about what you need to do when someone speaks to you. So Paul's leaving. They're sorrowful that he's leaving, and they're not too happy about it. Something you might consider here, it also was in the commentary, is Paul's true love of all of them was the most priceless earthly possession that any of them would ever have, and they seem to sense that, okay? Verse 38 reads, sorrow most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompany him to the ship. I read somewhere that the when you accompany somebody, whether it's a ship or wherever they're going away to well, stagecoach or whatever back in this time, to their journey as they're leaving, that was showing the most affectionate you could at the time to show how much you cared for these individuals. And I think some people still do that. I remember when I was a kid that every time my older siblings would leave to go back to college, would go outside and say goodbye, you know. Never thought at the time about what Paul is revealing here.
Generally, if family leaving, you go out and see them, go take them to the car and see them off, you know.
But isn't that what they're doing here with Paul?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a lot of affection there.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of starting chapter 21, I have a questionnaire I want some people to fill out. That means anybody that would like to, these are the questions that I told you I didn't get from the book we have in the back. We're going to go over a few of them before our time, so we don't have much time. But if you'd like to work ahead and fill them out, that'd be fantastic. What this basically is a review of the chapter, and we've been doing this for a few weeks now. And to review here, I think is important so that we don't forget what we have done. When Paul left, number one, when Paul left the disciples at Ephesus, where did he go? I'm sorry. Macedonia. Number two, after going through Macedonia, where did Paul go? Anybody?
Greece.
He went to Greece. Yes, sir.
While we're trying to fill the last class, I think we need to read this. So the phone was ringing back in the office during class. And this is the message that was taken. Jamie Collins called during class, but requested Kay Collins has been on a ventilator for the past week. They went to perform surgery and found her entire small intestine was gone. Because of this, they are taking her off the vent today. She requested prayers that she will pass easy and not suffer.
Does it say where she's at?
It does not.
It didn't.
No?
Brent took the call.
What?
Brent.
He didn't put it in. This is Brett's phone.
Yeah.
Brett didn't. He didn't say what they said, but I thought maybe you might want to lead a prayer on that behalf.
Let's all bow. Our Father in heaven, we're indeed thankful that you sent Christ here. But at this time, we'd like for you to be with the Collins family as they're having a trouble with their family member that she's just an inspiration when she's here and bringing the boys. And we pray that everybody that's around her will comfort her. And we are so thankful to know her, and we're so thankful that she was part of our lives. We want you to also understand that we want you to pray for the family. We want you to help the family as they go through a trying time here of helping her and seeing that to her needs. Father, once again, the Collins family does need your help and comfort. We pray that you can help them see an opportunity maybe. We know that she is loved so well here in the congregation. Well, we pray that you will continue to help us and guide us. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. That's sad to hear, because we was asking about her last week. She hadn't been here in a couple of weeks. I think this has been the third week. So every time I see her, I ask her how she's doing. She's always saying fine. Always saying fine. No matter where we were.
Always had a big smile.
Huh?
Always had a big smile.
Always had. Well, I'd see her once in a while at her work, because she worked at Walmart in Carmine. And when she'd see me, if I was going through the line, because I'd be over there once in a while, and she'd, big, like Doug said, big smile on her face. She got to see somebody that she knew, and I hope it was from appreciation. I don't know that, but when you always see part of your family members, and that's why I take her as a family member. So it's sad. It's really sad. We need to keep her in our prayers. She is greatly needed in her family. She was the patriarch, so she was really needed. Yes.
But we rejoice because she's in the Lord.
She was faithful, very faithful. Like I said, a great example too. I think that will conclude our class. That's a couple of minutes early. But on our questionnaire, if you want to work ahead, we'll talk about that next week. And then what time we have left, we'll start chapter 21.